Anyway, so I ended up in this prison cell, and the first thing I noticed was the heat, a tremendous heat. It was so hot, I wondered, why am I still alive in this heat? I should be dead. I should be incinerated. But yet, here I was alive. And I wanted to die already because of the heat. But yet, I found myself awake. I was fully cognizant and awake. This was not a dream. I was really in this cell. And I thought, how in the world did I get here? Why am I here? I didn't know anything. Nothing was explained until the way back. Now, one more thing to explain. I was there as an unsaved person would be. The Lord blocked it from my mind that I was a Christian. Okay? So, and he explained why on the way back, which I will explain. But just to give you a few scriptures where God can do that. Of course, we know God can do anything, but to give some scriptural basis for it. You know, in Luke 24:16, when the apostles saw Jesus, it says their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. John MacArthur's commentary said they were kept by God from recognizing him. So God blocked it from their eyes that it was Jesus. In 2 Kings 4:27, when the Shunammite woman was coming up to Elijah, Elijah said to Gehazi, he said, her soul is vexed within her, but the Lord has hid the thing from me. So God hid that from him. In Daniel 4:34, it talked about Nebuchadnezzar when he became like an animal. He was a king and he became like an animal. Well, it said that his memory, you know, and was lost. And in Daniel 4:34, it said his understanding returned to him. Well, Matthew Henry's commentary said that the Lord took it away from him, removed it from him, that he was a man and he thought he was an animal and he lived like an animal. So God can remove something from your mind. That's what my point is. He removed it from my mind for a real good reason, which I will explain in a few minutes. But anyway, I found myself on the floor in this cell. Like I said, I noticed the heat. I also noticed that I had absolutely no strength in my body. Every effort to move was such an effort to try to make even one move. And so you don't have any strength either in hell. You're weak. You know, when you see people sometimes in a hospital situation where they've gone through surgeries and people are real weak and they can't move and the nurses have to help them, you know, you're just void of strength. Well, in hell, it's like that, but you have no strength ever. So it's just one of the things you have to endure in hell. And Isaiah 14:9-10 says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become weak as we? And the word weak means ill or faint. In Psalms 88:4, it says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength. Anyway, so it's just one of the things you have to endure, no strength at all. I looked up and I saw these two enormous beasts in the cell. They were about 12 or 13 feet tall, and they were demons. I didn't realize then that they were demons. They were just enormous creatures. One was real reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over its body, huge protruding jaw, huge teeth about it, just gigantic teeth, claws that are about a foot long. Like I said, 12 or 13 feet tall. And I know that might sound like a real exaggeration, but there's even scripture for that. Genesis 6:4 talks about when the sons of God came down and had relations with women that had produced giants in the earth. Well, most of the commentators agree that the sons of God were fallen angels. So the giants were a result of fallen angels having relations with women. And in Deuteronomy 3:11, talks about that one of the bedstead of the giants was 9 cubits, which is about 13 and a half feet. So anyway, not all of them are that big, but these particular two were. The one grabbed me and picked me up and threw me into the wall. Tremendous strength that the demon had. I hit the wall. I felt bones break. I mean, you have bones in a body in hell. Matthew 10:28 says, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's lots of other scriptures, but I felt the bones break, but I understood that the pain was being masked, blocked somehow. I just understood that, but the Lord blocked a lot of the pain, but he did allow me to feel some of it so that I could tell people it's not metaphorical or allegorical. There's real pain felt in hell, you see? So I collapsed on the floor. The other creature grabbed me and picked me up with its claws and just dug its claws into my chest and shredded it open. All the flesh just shred like ribbons and hung. I felt the pain again. I couldn't believe I was still alive. I should be dead through this. Why am I still alive? But yet, you can't die. I noticed there was no blood or water coming from the wounds. I just happened to notice that. But, you know, Leviticus 17:11 says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, there's no life in hell, so there's no blood in hell. And there's no water. Zechariah 9:11 talks about out of the pit where there is no water. And we know Luke 16 talks about the rich man that was wanted just one drop of water. There's no water. They had absolutely, these creatures had no mercy whatsoever. They were cursing God. This one began pacing in the cage, in the cell I was in, and just like a caged bull, the demon was like a caged bull, ferocious, I mean vicious things. They both were cursing God, blaspheming God. And we know James 2:7 talks about, do not they blaspheme that worthy name. Well, blasphemy comes from the devil, and there's scriptures I can give you, but I don't want to get too tied up with that. Anyway, I wondered why they were cursing God so much. I didn't know what language it was, but I understood it. They turned their hatred for God, that they have for God, they turned it towards me, and they began doing all these tortures, and like I said, shredding my flesh and all that. They had a hatred that was absolutely beyond anything you can imagine. I mean, just an evil, no mercy whatsoever. You know, in Psalms 103:17 says, the mercy of the Lord is upon those that fear Him. You see, they don't fear God in hell. So you have no mercy. Psalms 36:5 says, the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. It's not in hell. You know, we've seen some merciless acts on our TV. You know, when we've seen the terrorists saw people's heads off, right? How horrible that is and merciless. Well, that kind of lack of mercy comes from the devil. That's where that comes from. And they hate you with a, I mean, just hate you. I wanted to just get out, but I could hardly move. So I began to crawl out of the cell. And that's about as much strength as I could get. They apparently let me. So I began crawling out of the cell. And when I got out of the cell, right about then, right before I got out, it went dark. Okay, it resumed its normal state. It's pitch black in hell, but I believe the Lord's presence was there to allow me to see so I could describe it to you and tell you what it looks like. But then the Lord's presence left. I didn't know it was the Lord's presence. I just know the light went out. And so then it became absolutely pitch black. I mean dark like you've never been in dark before. And Lamentations 3:6 talks about He sets us in dark places as they that be dead of old. But it wasn't just dark. It was an evil presence about the darkness. I mean, you could feel the darkness. Just like Exodus 10:21 talks about a darkness which may be felt. You could feel it. And it was evil presence about the darkness. So eerie. And I was listening to all the people screaming. There were millions. I understood there were millions of people there, all screaming. It was so loud and deafening, I couldn't stand to hear it. You know, but Isaiah 57:21 talks about there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You have no peace of mind. It's so loud in hell, the screams of the people being tormented. It was all black. I looked in the one direction, though, and there was a little bit of light coming from flames that were leaping high up in the air. I understood it was about 10 miles away and that the pit of fire was about a mile across. I just knew that. But the light from the flames, like on earth, would produce a lot of light. There it didn't. The light did not travel. It barely lit up just real close to the skyline of the flames. So I could just see barren, desolate rock, wasteland, and hardly anything, but the light would not travel. Isaiah 59:10 talks about we are in desolate places as dead men. It's really desolate. There's no greenery. There's no green grass. Nothing. It's all no life whatsoever. One of the demons grabbed me and threw me back in the cell. Began more. One crushed my head. Two more walked into the cell, and each one grabbed a leg and an arm and was about to pull my arms and legs off. And I just thought, I can't endure this. I can't go through this. I just want to die. And right then, something grabbed me and pulled me out of the cell and placed me over next to that pit of fire that I just told you about. Well, I know it was God, but at that time, I didn't know that. And I was just glad to be pulled out of the cell. And now I was placed over next to this pit of fire, and I could see people through the flames. This was a huge, raging pit of fire. And there were outlines of people I could see through the fire. People burning. I mean, literally burning. If you've ever seen someone, most of us here have not, seen someone on fire. It's really terrible to see a person on fire. And all these people are actually literally burning. I mean, it's real literal fire in hell. I want to slow down just for a minute and give you a few scriptures at 2 points because some people have trouble with a couple points here. I want to share with you a little bit here. First of all, about the torment with demons. Some people say, Bill, but what about, you know, in Revelation 20:10, it says that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and tormented day and night. So how can the demons torment you? But see, that scripture is after the tribulation, after the judgment day. So right now, it's different. There's demons, and they're on the earth, and they're in hell. Matthew 25:41 says so. Isaiah 14:15, Ezekiel 28:17, Revelation 12:4 through 8, 2 Peter 2:4, Jude 6, and some others talk about where the Satan is on the earth and in hell. So there's no angels to protect you. There are demons in hell to torment you. Matthew 18:34 talks about being delivered to the tormentors. Matthew Henry, regarding that scripture, he said, devils, the executioners of God's wrath, will be their tormentors forever. Luke 12:47 talks about being beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. And John Wesley comments on that And he says, for the executioners of God's vengeance are at hand, and once he has delivered you over to them, you are undone forever. Psalm 50, verse 22 talks about, you that forget God, I will tear you in pieces. And again, Matthew Henry says, those who will not consider the warnings of God's word will be torn to pieces by the executioners. Matthew 24, 51 talks about being cut to pieces, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Psalms 116, 3 talks about, for the pains of Sheol laid hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Anyway, there's so many scriptures on being tormented. I just can't go on with all those, but the devil can torment you in hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, Isaiah 5:14 talks about, therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and the mighty man shall be humbled. It's really humbling to be, you know, God's made us the highest form of creation, and to be subjected to the lowest form of creation. These demons have become the lowest form of creation, and they can torment you in hell. God runs hell, but he uses the devil also. But as far as real fire, one last point, and we'll go on, because a lot of people have trouble with that too, and say, oh, it's not real fire, it's metaphorical fire. It's not true. There's so many scriptures about fire being real. Psalms 140 verse 10 talks about, let burning coals fall upon them, let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits. Psalms 11:6 talks about, upon the wicked he will rain fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. John 15:6 talks about, if a man abides not in the Lord, just as men gather branches, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Matthew 13:49 talks about, the angels shall sever the just from the wicked and cast the wicked into a furnace of fire to be burned. Anyway, there's a lot of scriptures about being burnt in fire. Charles Spurgeon says, there is a real fire in hell as truly as you now have a real body, a fire exactly like that which we have on the earth. But just to give you two verses, remember in Revelation 9:2, where during the tribulation time that the demons are released out of the pit, the bottomless pit, on the earth the smoke arises, and it says the air and the sky were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, it couldn't be a metaphorical fire to produce real smoke. It was real smoke that darkened the sky. It had to be a real fire to produce that. The same within Luke 16, when he said he was tormented in this flame, he wanted water. If it was just mental anguish, why would water suffice? You see? So anyway, it's real fire. We can't even imagine what it's really like to burn for eternity. But, you know, we saw in the Twin Towers when people, you know, they were faced with, they said that heat was 2,000 degrees from the burning fuel. And they said if people were exposed to it, they would be incinerated in about 15 seconds. But so those people, rather than face that 15 seconds, chose to jump. A lot of those people, how horrendous that must have been to jump from that height. Can you imagine? But yet, scientists say that the center of the earth is 12,000 degrees. And you have to endure it for eternity. That's why the Lord always said, where the fire is not quenched. That's just one of the things you have to endure, which is awful in itself. The stench in hell is so foul and putrid, it's disgusting. You know, it says Jesus rebuked the foul spirits. Anyway, Mark 9:25, but there's a smell of sulfur, burning flesh, everything rotten you can imagine, like an open sewer. And sulfur is a really terrible smell, because even in Hawaii, if you go to see the volcanoes, they have signs you can't go past a certain point because the fumes from the odors of the sulfur will kill you. Well, in hell, you're breathing in this fumes, and it's actually toxic. So I wondered, why wasn't I dead from just the fumes? It should kill you. But again, you don't die from that. You have to endure that kind of stench for eternity. But even worse than that, there's not enough air to breathe. You know, here we have air, we breathe. There's not enough air. So every breath that you take, you have to fight and struggle to get even the tiniest bit of air. And I'll just try to describe to you, I'll show you how I had to breathe. It was like this. I had to go. It's like that. So there wasn't enough air. Like, I'm going to die any second, I don't have enough air. But you keep going, you see. And Isaiah 42:5 says, the Lord gives breath to the people upon the earth. You're under the earth there. You don't get that benefit. And you see, most of us take for granted fresh air, being with people, food, sunshine, all those things. You don't get any of those things in hell because, you know, James 1:17 said, every good and perfect gift comes from down from the Father of lights. Okay, so if you remove God from the situation, all the good goes with him. There is no good without God. See? Psalm 36:5 says, the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. Deuteronomy 11:11 talks about, water is the rain of heaven. Proverbs 10:29 talks about, the Lord gives strength to the upright. Psalms 127:2 says, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. See, all these things come from God that we enjoy here, and you don't get any of that in hell. You never get to sleep in hell. Can you imagine? You never get to go to sleep again, and you need to sleep. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now, it's mainly talking about the no rest from the torments, but actually no physical rest. And Isaiah 57:20 talks about the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. And again, in Psalms 127:2, he says, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. You're not his beloved there. So you never get to go to sleep again. I wanted to talk to a person. You never get to be with people. You're isolated and kept alone. I thought about my wife a lot. We're really close. I thought about her up on the earth's surface, that I would never, ever see her again. I would never get to her. That thought alone was really tormenting for me, you know, to not be with her. And she would never know where I was at. I could never get to her. I never could explain to her where I'm at. So for eternity, you have to live with that, you know, without your loved ones. And again, you're isolated. You're not with people. I wanted to talk to a person, but you never get to talk to a person again. That's enjoyment, fellowship, like we enjoy here. You don't get any of those things in hell. You are also naked in hell, just another form of shame and vulnerability. Job 26:6 says that hell is naked before him and destruction has no covering. And so it means he can look in upon hell. It's not hidden from him, but also you are naked. The word naked is the same word that was used for Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, where they were naked and not ashamed. So you are naked, just again, another form of vulnerability to have to endure.